Get up, don't be afraid, says Jesus to Peter, James, and John, right after he transfigures and shines and then has a normal conversation with Moses and Elijah, who are angels. There's a moment where Peter tries to say something, but just doesn't understand what's going on. I wouldn't understand either, nor would most people. Oh, and then God speaks from a bright cloud above about how God is proud of Jesus and all the good that he has done. God tells us to listen to him. This is right before Jesus foretells his death to the disciples. It all just happens so fast. It's a brief passage, yet there's so much information in it. And then Jesus just says to Peter and James and John to get up, to not be afraid, and later to not tell anyone what happened until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. It's his words that make that passage so important. First of all, how did Jesus even transfigure? In what ways did he change? Well, he started glowing. He wanted Peter, James, and John to see him in his glory. I mean, imagine that. You're in a group of four when your best friend suddenly takes you all up a hill and starts glowing and shining like the sun. Imagine that they start to speak to maybe their deceased great-great-grandma and grandpa. Not only that, but then you hear God's voice from a cloud above you. Wouldn't you be like Peter, stumbling over words, struggling to even start to comprehend what was going on? I don't know about you, but I would definitely be afraid, petrified even. This story has probably happened to most people here, just in a different way. A lot of things happen, and sometimes major events happen all at once. Like Peter, James, and John, people can get frozen. They heard God's voice and fell to their knees. But all Jesus said was, get up. He says the same thing to people who were physically paralyzed, and just like that, they got up too. He wants us to keep going, but in order to get up, we have to listen to him. We have to listen to him and answer to him. It's our choice to get up, not anyone else's. Jesus does not only tell us to get up, but he also tells us to not be afraid. As I said before, if I witnessed an event like this, I admit I would be afraid and confused and probably terrified. With major events or even just change in general, there is fear. Whether it's a change of school, a change of job or housing, or maybe just a change with the people you spend your time with, family and friends, there's fear that comes with that. But God wants us to have hope and trust, not worry. So Jesus spreads the word. Do not be afraid. But it's not Jesus' words that can just fix us. As I said before, it's us that have to act. We make the choice to get up, we make the choice to not be afraid, and we make the choice to follow him. Finally, at the end of the passage, Jesus tells Peter, James, and John to not tell anyone about what they saw until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. But why? Jesus wouldn't want to keep something that important away from people, right? He's the Son of God. Wouldn't he want people to know that? I thought about this a lot. Why wouldn't he just show himself? Make people believe him? Maybe even avoid dying on the cross? It's because he's protecting us. It's not his mission to rule the world or take the earth over. His mission is to take the sins of the world and the sins of the people and suffer and die with them. He would sacrifice himself to get rid of them. Then he would resurrect. Only once he has been resurrected could Peter, James, and John spread the good news that Jesus Christ was no ordinary criminal. In fact, Jesus Christ was not a criminal at all. He came to take away the sins of the world. He wants to save us. So believe in the good news. Jesus loves us and wants to show that he cares for us. So he transfigures and shines, and only about 40 days later, dies for us.
Four years ago, and at about the same time of year, and in the same shoes, I had the opportunity to give a similar sermon about the Transfiguration. I chose that time to focus on how Jesus' disciples were so eager to build a home for him and Moses and Elijah. I spoke about the importance of our homes and the many ways a home can be present in our lives. I also spoke about the equal, if not greater, importance of leaving our homes. I wondered about the story's message and if its true purpose was to remind us how important it is to leave our homes. After all, the men do not end up building homes on the mountain. Little did I know, a year later, we'd be confined to our homes. So of course, 4 years later, my thoughts on the story have changed. After hearing God's declaration, Peter, John, and James fall to the ground and find themselves overcome by fear. Their belief and their reality is challenged by a vision, and the shock overwhelms them. I find it curious that this story intentionally highlights the fear that they feel. Their fear is understandable. In fact, I would probably also be afraid, and I'm not sure I would know how to respond, so falling on the ground seems like a good option. This is not because I'm unaccustomed to dealing with fear. I imagine the same was true of James, Peter, and John. I deal with fear often, and I believe that most people do. No matter how brave we are, there's something that everyone is afraid of. Maybe it's spiders, or maybe it's a huge patch of black ice on the stairs up to your house. Oftentimes, our fear comes from uncertainty. I, myself, am afraid of the ocean. I've swum competitively since the fifth grade, but still find myself nervous in deep, open water. When we are young, we fear the dark, because we do not know what may be lurking under the bed or behind the closed closet door. Many children fear strangers and new environments. As we age, we learn to trust our instincts and usually outgrow many of our childhood fears. Still, we will never be comfortable all of the time, and in all likelihood, we'll always continue to feel fear in new or unfamiliar situations. Peter, John, and James seem to recover quickly from their overwhelming fear after Jesus tells them not to be afraid. Quite frankly, this would not have convinced me. I have been told before to simply not be afraid, and it has not been particularly comforting. Every time I've gotten a shot, I've been told I will hardly feel it. I've felt it every time. I don't know, maybe that's just me. But I've learned to, you know, not mind the feeling and just not trust the assertion. Perhaps at its core then, this story is emphasizing the importance of moving away from fear. This does not mean that we should start to cross Michigan Avenue without looking either way, but rather that we can embrace the unknown without hesitation. This past summer, I spent 6 weeks with a host family in Ecuador. Being in a community where no one spoke English, and that was entirely unfamiliar to me, was frightening. Overcoming my fear was what made the experience empowering. I ended up joining a dance group that taught me a traditional dance from La Sierra, attended a neighborhood festival as a guest of honor, and learned to slaughter a turkey. Fortunately, I never had to do it myself. And my advice for anyone considering taking up the hobby, don't be afraid to make the first cut. A turkey with a loose head is much harder to dispatch of than a turkey with no head. Of course, I understand if you take that advice with a grain of salt, given I've just challenged the use of don't be afraid. I ask that you trust me on this one. If I had been held back by fear for the duration of my stay, I would have had a very different experience. For James, John, and Peter to understand the vision they had seen, they had to move past fear and into acceptance. We must do the same in our everyday lives. We should not fear that which we do not understand, because oftentimes the things that we don't understand, the people, the concepts, have the potential to be the most enriching to our lives. Fear also incites conflict, which we all know we have far too much of in the world. Oftentimes, we don't speak out because we are afraid to say the wrong thing. Our silence, though, is worse. Silence cannot resolve any lasting disagreements, just as staring at a turkey will not turn it into a sandwich. To learn from one another, we must engage with one another. I'm not saying that we can wave away our fear and solve the world's many problems. As nice as that would be, it's not really possible. Instead, I'm suggesting that as individuals and as a community, we should not let fear slow our actions. Though it may seem scary, we can reach out to understand others, to learn about different communities, and to take action. There is nothing wrong with feeling afraid. The problem begins when we let that fear paralyze and isolate us. This year, we can move past fear into action that makes our community stronger and our lives fuller.
When God, on that mountaintop, commanded Peter, Moses, and Elijah to listen to Jesus,
they fell down in fear. One could argue that the presence of God was so intimidating that it knocked them down onto their knees. But I would argue that this was about something else entirely. They were afraid of listening to Jesus, of following the ethical mandates that he would provide. In this day and age, we too often live in fear of listening to others, of understanding each other fully. We build up implicit biases throughout our lives that hold us back from truly seeing and understanding each other. I think that the Transfiguration demonstrates something more about glory than what we see on its face. Deep connection to others, there's a deeper meaning to it. Deep connection to others is what makes something glorious. It was Jesus' connection to Elijah, Moses, and Peter on that mountain that made him appear differently, because they saw Jesus in a different light. God's glory, as such, tells us of the importance of connecting with others, because that is when we, like Peter, Elijah, and Moses, will find the light and the beauty that can appear within all of our fellow people. When Peter, Elijah, and Moses see Jesus in his transfigured state, they don't see a glorified version of him. They see a vivid image of what is already true about him. In 2021, I began tutoring elementary school students over Zoom. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty challenging. I know that most of us here have experienced the difficulty involved in connecting with people over Zoom in the past few years. And when I was tutoring elementary school students, I had my own share of challenges. Often, I would struggle to engage my students, which we affectionately called tutees, in lessons. Sometimes they would be engaging in other activities during our sessions or getting up and walking around their rooms. To quote Brené Brown, the story that I was telling myself was that my tutees didn't care about learning. However, I began to question why I told myself that story in the first place. I eventually came to realize that in these moments, I wasn't seeing my tutees for all of who they were. My view was clouded by bias. I had previously learned how to confront bias with empathy and compassion in school and in new officer trainings here at Forth, and to do so with an intent to improve myself and my relationships with others. In that moment of reflection, I realized that it was my responsibility to think beyond the story that I was telling myself. These were kids. They were attempting to learn on a computer. They were attempting to learn from a person that they had never before met. That is incredibly difficult for adults to interact over Zoom, so how challenging must that be for a child? I started listening to my tutees and asking them how I could do better. From that input, I remodeled my lesson plans. I substituted worksheets with online learning games. I integrated breaks into our sessions. I spent time getting to know my tutees on a personal level. Once I implemented these changes, my tutees were able to bring their full selves to the table and were able to learn so much more. It was easy to see how much of their personality, curiosity, and inquisitiveness I was missing because implicit biases were limiting my view of them. My tutees transfigured in front of me because I changed my mindset. It seems to me that as Jesus transfigures, Peter, Moses, and Elijah become transfigured too. I have come to understand that when we break down our implicit biases and begin to see beyond our limited view of people and groups, we build beautiful newfound connections with these people and gain a novel understanding of the world around us. Like Peter, Moses, and Elijah, we are forever changed when we take the time and the effort to form a novel understanding of someone else. Amen.